colleague Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Rich Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who has been on the show before. It's been a number of years, and we're talking about something very different. And I think that before you introduce yourself, as is kind of the normal formula here, I think I just want to preface this by saying the last time you were on the show, all I really remember from that conversation was talking about the dick that you carved in the snow behind Brian Pallister's house.
Oh, man. Now I remember that, too. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that was definitely the date.
More importantly, I think he remembers that, which is the most important thing here. Yeah,
I'm sure he does. So that dates the conversation. So this is like the first one in a while that you've been
absolutely
on the podcast. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself, give a bit of background, I guess, about the project we're going to be talking about today.
For sure. So my name is Jeremy. I've performed under the name Jay Williams for a bunch of years. My new project is a solo-based comedy loop rock project called Mr. Loopy Pants.
Okay.
Where it's me, a bass guitar, and a loop pedal, and a bunch of drum beats, and I do comedy songs. But it's different from anything I've ever done, because it's the first thing in my life that I've really tried at and really believed in, and so I'm super excited about it.
It's interesting, because, I mean, I think people know you outside of Mr. Loopy Pants for doing comedy and music and combining the two. I mean, that's sort of been your thing for a really long
absolutely
time.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, stylistically, I assume the loop pedal and all that makes things a little bit different, but are you approaching this, like, in a different way than you have all of your previous stuff?
So, I like to think of this as what I always would have been doing if I had applied myself.
Okay.
It's the same sort of, like, concept. It's like silly and inappropriate songs that I think are funny, but some people don't, you know. But in this iteration, I've put all of my effort into it, and so I have my loop pedal's name is Peter. He's my best friend / loop pedal. To the disappointment of my partner Crystal, I speak to him like he's a real boy, whether she's there or not. Like, she'll come home and I won't hear her come home, and I'll be in the basement talking to Peter, and we're trying to figure out a problem, you know, and I know he's not a real boy and she knows he's not a real boy. But if you ever talk to him, actually, hold on one second. I'm going to go get him. And
sure,
like, please don't tell him he's not.
Sure. Sure. We'll get him on the show. Yeah.
So this is Peter. He's my best friend / loop pedal. And a little thing you should know about the show is that Peter has 6 tracks and 9 separate buttons. And because of my specific flavor of ADHD, I've approached each song completely differently. All these buttons are completely customizable. And so for every single one of my songs, none of the buttons do anything similar to any of the other songs. It's the dumbest way to write music. And so it means that I have to rehearse like 12 times longer than I normally would. But because I just don't have the ability to create systems to make my life easier, this is how it ended up, and I'm fine with it.
Well, and I guess the reason we're talking about this now, too, is because, at the time we're recording this, the Fringe Festival is coming up. Obviously, the type of thing you do fits pretty well with sort of that whole vibe of what the Fringe is about. So I know that Mr. Loopy Pants has been a thing prior to the Fringe. Like, how long has this been actually a project, and then how did you decide to make it into a Fringe show?
So it's been about a year and a half that I've been doing the project, and only about a year that I've actually been gigging.
Okay.
And the Fringe, for me, the Fringe is the logical sort of destination for this project, because there aren't many logical destinations for this project, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't really fit in at music venues. I don't really fit in at comedy clubs. And this is somewhere in between with theater plugged in. And so it was really easy to retool. So the Fringe show itself, it's called Mr. Loopy Pants, The Art of Fucking Up.
Okay.
And what I do is I separate, it's sort of like almost like a philosophy seminar on the subject of fucking up. And I separate it into 7 different chapters, each with its own theme. And then I use either a pre-existing song or a new song that I've created for the show to sort of illustrate the theme.
Okay.
And Fringe is just the perfect place for this, because I can mix a bunch of different genres and a bunch of different sort of media, like entertainment media, together, and it just like fits, and people aren't expecting anything in particular, and so no one's disappointed. They're all surprised, and it's great.
So
I've done a few Fringe shows before.
Well, like you say, I mean, Fringe has that. You have that ability to do all of that and make it more than just a music show or just a comedy show. How has this worked leading up to this? I mean, you said you've been gigging for about a year. What has a previous Mr. Loopy Pants show looked like, and how does that differ from what the Fringe show is going to be?
So a normal show would just be I'd go up there and I'd play the songs, you know, and they're a lot of the songs are the same ones I'm doing, but the difference is that the Fringe show has a theme. It's theatrical. I do bits. So I've got this one bit where myself from the future interrupts the show to tell me to stop the show, because if I don't stop the show, someone's going to die.
Okay.
And then that turns into a 7-minute argument where I'm like, well, I don't know, but what about everybody else? You know, and so that's the stuff that wouldn't be at a normal show. A normal show might not be as scripted as this as well. I've been rehearsing the show and I'm trying to bring it to, it's supposed to be an hour and I've got it at 57 minutes, but I know I like to sort of dawdle on stage. So I'm going to have to cut a little bit more to make sure it comes in under an hour. Whereas a normal show, I might do 45 minutes and just play the songs and be like, thanks for coming, everyone. This is going to be start to finish scripted with a slideshow and everything. And so it's more of like a cohesive sort of theatrical experience.
And is this sort of what you were hoping to do with this when you started it? This kind of having that multimedia aspect of it?
Absolutely, yeah. I do video and animation and music, obviously, and I really like the idea of mixing as many things as possible without sort of distracting people. You know, I know there's really short attention spans, but in a show like this, I can have like, oh, shiny over here, whoa, look shiny over here, and keep people's attention better. And so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I mean, I think that the Fringe. And I'm one of these people too, who I see the list of the Fringe shows. I look at the program and everything. I always have this big intentions to sort of go to as many shows as possible. Half the time I go to none of them and I'm like, oh shit, the Fringe is over already. I missed it. You know? So I mean, like who is this for? Because I feel like the Fringe has a core audience that are going to go no matter what. They're going to check out as many shows as they can. But then there's people like me, I guess, who sort of show up every few years when something seems interesting. And so what's the audience for this? Because you have an existing career doing comedy, doing music, people know who you are. You have this, you know, in Winnipeg especially, right? So do you have sort of an idea of who you're targeting this to, or is it really just anybody?
Well, it's really funny. My main audience, my main target is 100% myself.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Right now what I'm doing is exactly the thing I think is the coolest thing for me to be doing with my skill set and my level of art expertise or whatever. With this project specifically, I'm making it as awesome as I can in my own opinion, and I'm hoping that people agree with me.
Okay.
And I think they will. Like, the at shows so far, I've had a great response.
Cool. Well, with that in mind, I mean, how do you know, especially because this is a very solo project, I mean, there's obviously a lot that goes into it. How do you know when you've sort of accomplish what you're trying to do with these songs? Because I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of planning. I mean, even though you sort of described the somewhat lack of planning involved, but just because of setting up the pedals and making sure all these parts work together, like, is there a point where with one of these songs you sort of know that you have achieved a final version of one of these that maybe isn't the case when you're just up there with the acoustic guitar in some of your previous iterations?
Absolutely, yeah. For me, so the process of sort of arranging and engineering the songs on Peter are very different from just with an acoustic guitar.
I believe it, yeah.
Because all the buttons do different stuff, I have to sort of like rehearse till the point of muscle memory taking over. And so if I'm rehearsing for a show and I screw up a song, I have to do that song like 5 or 6 more times to make sure I'm not going to screw it up on stage. Because on stage, it's different. You're flustered and, you know, you mess up one thing. And the nature of the loop pedal too, the way I've got it, is if I hit the wrong button at any point in the song, it's possible that I have to just start the song over. And that's Bush League. You don't want to start a song over, you know? And so I just like over rehearse and get to the point where I know them backwards and forwards. And yeah.
Does I guess the nature of a Fringe show too, and then it's running sort of over a long period of time and you have a bunch of different shows. I imagine that's going to help with this too, right? Because you're going to be sort of honing this even more so as you go along.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I'm doing 11 shows in 12 days, and so that's going to be
it's
going to be a marathon, and I'm very excited, you know. Well, but I even feel like I need to get in shape. I used to rehearse 4 or 5 hours a day. Like, it was to the point of a compulsion, and over the winter I sort of let that slide a bit, and I've been getting really I've been obviously rehearsing for the Fringe show, but I find like I'm out of breath a lot, and so I'm just like out of shape, like physically, and I need to sort of. And so this will help with that. You know, at the end of it, I'll be like a marathon runner. It's gonna be amazing.
Is there like a physical component to it? I mean, just even just like stepping on the right the pedals and shit like that. Like, I mean,
like it's the I really give her, and it's the I'm like belting out songs, singing the whole time, and playing bass, and I'm not sure what it is exactly, but I know that when I'm done rehearsing for an hour in the basement, I'm covered in sweat, and so maybe it's just my poor shape. I don't know.
Well, yeah, if anything is going to help, I mean, 11 shows in 12 days will do
absolutely
that.
Yeah.
I have a brain disorder called aphantasia. Don't see my thoughts when I close my eyes and think about a puppy. All I see is infinite darkness, and that makes me sad. I didn't even know that I was different until a couple years ago. Maybe this explains why I'm so enthusiastic about LSD. But it's okay, I'll find a way to make weapons from my disabilities. If I can't see my thoughts and you can, that gives me the kind of power someone like me shouldn't have. Cause I can describe some unsettling things, yet somehow be the only one who doesn't have to see them. That's obviously what I'm gonna do. So I hope you enjoy the view. Wink. Close your eyes and picture a guy. His mouth is a butthole and his teeth are all hemorrhoids. His long, slender tongue comes out and licks the whole circumference. His eyes are infected and they're swollen shut tight. They're leaking blood and viscous pus everywhere. And suddenly he rips the skin right off his face and pork and beans fall out. Now picture your parents in their sexual prime, buck naked trading rim jobs in your childhood bedroom. Your mom throws up into your dad's mouth and he swallows with a smile cause he's thirsty. They skin a baby deer with a knife and paint each other's naked bodies with the blood and the viscera, and then they both smile and rip that skin off their faces. Pork and beans come out. Now think about the Pope's dick and his shriveled little balls. I used to think that aphantasia was a curse, but now I see it's been a superpower all along. I'm okay, I found a way to make weapons from my disability. If I can't see my thoughts, you can. That gives me the kind of power someone like me shouldn't have. Quiet for my disorders, are relay superpowers, not like in a lame or condescending way. Jeremy. Eating one another's ass
and also for insinuating that your father was insatiably thirsty for vomit. I was jealous and I was lashing out, but I never should have introduced the guy with the butthole mouth or all those people ripping skin off of all of those faces and poor canned beans fall out. Think about the Pope's dick and his sacred little balls. When I think about the Pope's dick, I don't see anything at all. I have a superpower called aphantasia, and it rocks balls.
Well, obviously, this is what you've been building up to for a while. I mean, knowing that you have this run of shows and you have, you know, it's a big platform, being part of the Fringe. What do you plan on doing with this sort of going forward? Is this sort of the idea of having these kind of, you know, maybe larger scale events less frequently? Or are you planning on making this like a regular, a more regular gigging thing around the city? Or
what I would really like to do and what I'm planning to do is to tour.
Okay.
And I'm not sure exactly what that looks like, but part of me wants to sort of take a version of this Fringe show to just music venues and clubs.
Yeah.
And to sort of pitch myself across the country and be like, hey, I'm a solo-based comedy lube rock artist. I know another one of those. We're probably getting so sick of them. But here's a version of a show I can bring in. It's multimedia. It's got songs. It's got stories. It's just something different apart from just being a different genre that doesn't really exist, right?
Yeah, and I guess you present it as the whole package, right?
It's not just the music. Yeah. One difference that I should point out between my new stuff and my old stuff, and this is probably the major difference, is back in the day when I play shows, I used to encourage people to heckle and yell mean shit between songs. It was a lot of fun. I was the bad wrestler. But the world's on fire. There's so much cruelty. Everything sucks. And I decided before Mr. Loopy Pants that I was going to change that. I didn't want to lean into the negativity anymore. And so what I've chosen to do, and this is so insidious, I am equally as cynical as I've always been, but I'm leaning more into the toxic positivity now.
Okay.
And so I'm constantly saying shit like, you know what, if you believe in yourself, you can do anything. And it's very positive and encouraging, but it's bullshit. Like, that's not real, you know, but I say it, and I say it cynically, but it seems like I'm being honest and genuine. And so I feel like I'm not spreading negativity anymore. And it's made a huge difference in how I feel about the project, regardless of the fact that it was a joke. 20 years of heckling gets to you. It just does.
I believe it.
You know,
I believe it.
There's so much negativity. And that's why I stopped playing as much as I used to play with Jay Williams. Because whether I liked it or not, whether my conscious mind, my logical mind was aware, these people are supporting you. They're yelling horrible, horrible things because they like you. There's part of my animal brain that was like, wow, those are some horrible things you keep hearing every week, you know? And so I had to sort of take a step back.
Yeah.
But this is the perfect solution.
Do you, I mean, I know that with your, I don't want to dwell on the previous stuff too much too, because I mean, you have this new persona, you have this new project, but I mean, I think you're probably fairly well known, especially locally, for the video aspect of it too. I mean, the multimedia thing is not new to you, but music videos were kind of a big part of, I think, what people recognize you for. Is that something you're hoping to continue doing with this?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've got one single out so far. It's my first single. It's called Dustpan. And I did a video for that. Some friends helped, Trav and Chris, and my other friend Chris all helped so generously. I couldn't afford to pay them, and they were just excited to do it. But it's a story. The song Dustpan is a story about a time that my garage was broken into right after I moved into a beautiful place right on that. I'm in Wolseley, right between the Stabbing District and Granola Town.
Yeah.
And so first week we lived here, our garage got broken into in the middle of the night. And I went out and I saw someone was in the garage. It was the middle of the night and I didn't know what to do. And so I was like, well, I can't go outside without defending myself, right? I need to have some sort of a system to defend myself. And so I looked on the counter and there was this huge knife. And I thought, you know, if you take that outside, you're going to get stabbed with it, Jeremy. That's what's going to happen.
Probably, so I
looked around a little more and I saw a dustpan. And so I took a dustpan outside and I was like, hey, get out of my garage, mister. I have a dustpan. And it turns out it was a little kid. And so I just, like, neither one of us said anything, and he just ran away, and I was like, okay, well, that worked out. But so for the video, I had the part of a little kid played by a puppet that I bought. And then for the scene where he jumps over the fence, we just threw him over the fence in slow motion. And it's ideal. It's perfect. It's the exact right amount of like low production value with, yeah, I'm so proud of it. And you're right. Like being able to do video, adds a different element to the project that for a lot of people, a video is just like an ad for your song or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And for me, it's a separate piece of art. Like it gives the song a new dimension if you put enough effort into the video, right? And so I plan to do videos for all my songs.
Cool.
Night at 4 a.m. I heard a really loud noise outside. I got up off the couch to go and see what it was. I looked into the street, but there was nothing unusual going on. So I walked through the house to go and check the backyard. And when I opened up the door, I could see there was somebody in the garage. I didn't know what I should do, so I just looked around my kitchen for something I could use to defend myself if it came to that. I saw a big sharp knife, and I thought to myself, that's a big mistake, don't take that. So I just grabbed a dustpan and headed outside. Yelled into the darkness, hey, Mr. Burglar, get the heck out of my garage. There's nothing worth stealing in there anyway, so please go away. And I should warn you that I'm armed with a dustpan, and I'm not afraid to use it to clean up the neighborhood. Wink!
Dustpan. It was the middle of the night. I heard a noise, so I checked the front. There was no one there. I went to the back. Someone was in the garage. I didn't know what to do. I looked around my kitchen for something with which to defend myself. Maybe some sort of an implement. Maybe a weapon. I saw a giant knife on the counter, and I thought, that's a big mistake. So I grabbed a dustpan, and I headed outside. We now join our story, already in progress, as I'm standing in my own backyard, holding a dustpan in the middle of the night, staring into the busted, gaping door of my garage. Waiting.
Then suddenly, out stepped a child of 13 years old. He looked at me, I looked at him, and we both looked at the dustpan. Just watched him go. He jumped the fence, and I was left alone, holding the dustpan. I was left alone, holding the dustpan.
I feel like last time you were on the show, and again, that this sort of dates that conversation, but I mean, you're doing all these, you had a whole series of videos, you know, explaining your feelings about Brian Pallister.
And, absolutely. And, which were negative feelings.
Very,
yeah.
Very negative, yeah.
But, still are, yeah.
And I think a lot of people probably feel the same way, but do you, like, did those songs ever come out as songs, or was it just, were those just video releases?
Those were, I mean, this is embarrassing, but the first song I've ever put on Spotify or any of the evil streaming sites was Dustpan recently.
Okay,
I never put any of my William S. stuff, none of the Pallister stuff. I'm very proud of it, but I often forget it exists.
Yeah.
I have the kind of ADHD that just makes you only know about the things right in front of you. And so when someone, like earlier, when you were like, oh yeah, the dink and the skating dink, I was like, oh, that's right, I forgot about those. And so with those ones, they had to be so immediate that I had to put a ton of effort in to get it out within a week or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really nice having that kind of motivation and creativity, but it was only a week at a time, right? And so I was thinking about this earlier today, actually. With Mr. Loopy Pants, I have the same motivation and I'm working just as hard, but it's been a year and a half instead of a week.
Okay.
And so those were a good example of like the kind of effort I can put in, but this is a good example of the kind of effort I can put in like a sustained way. And I can't believe I've done it, but it's, yeah. I think it's because there are, I keep bringing up ADHD because it is something I definitely have. But I think there are enough different parts of working with the loop pedal, writing and arranging, that when I get bored of one, I just move on to the other, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, like, I can see how that would sort of satisfy that need to do different,
like,
stuff. Yeah,
I have with Mr. Loopy Pants, I like to think of it as I have all these little piles of dopamine just waiting for me to pick them up. Right, and right now I'm finishing up a new song, and whatever song I'm finishing up is always my favorite. I can't get enough of it. And so I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll be like, you know what I need? I need some dopamine. And I'll go downstairs to the basement and play the song and then go back to bed. And it's great to have that available, you know?
What is the, for sure, I believe that too. I can see that being a satisfying way to get that out. What's the response been to the stuff you've been doing so far? I mean, again, I know it's not necessarily the same as the show that's happening at the Fringe, but like just a project in general.
It's been overwhelmingly positive. I've been so grateful for the response people have been giving me. I don't think people were expecting the amount of effort that I've put in, because I just never have done that before. But one of the reasons a lot of people came out to check it out was the way I've been promoting it is being sincere about the fact that I've never been this proud about anything I've ever done, and I've never tried this hard. And so I think that piqued a lot of people's interest.
Yeah.
And then when they come out to the show, a lot of them will come up to me and say, like, I get what you mean now. Like, this is, you should be proud of this. It's great. And I'm so grateful for that. They've been awesome. So supportive.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, if someone is, the thing with this being a podcast, someone could hear it the day it comes out, in which case, like, hey, the Fringe is happening shortly. Someone could hear it months from now, years from now. I've been doing this for 7,000 years. I'm apparently not going to stop ever. So, like, someone could hear it, you know, 5 years down the road. Obviously, the Fringe isn't happening, or you're presumably not playing the Fringe that year. But how do people find out more about this? How do people find what you're doing? And maybe by then you have a whole bunch of new stuff going on.
Well, firstly, if you're hearing this after Fringe and you missed it, oh, I'm so sorry. You missed out. It was amazing. But I'm going to keep doing this compulsively. I don't think I'm ever going to stop. And so just look up Mr. Loopy Pants. Hopefully by the time you hear this, I'm working on a 10-song album right now.
Nice.
Hopefully that'll be out and you can check out some new videos. But yeah, Mr. Loopy Pants is it's a great name, I think, for what I do, because it's silly. It provides sort of an indication of what it is I do, but also I'm the only Mr. Loopy Pants. I looked it up. There's no other ones. And so, yeah, surprise, there's no other people with this dumb name, you know?
I've never had a job I didn't hate. I've never worked a day I didn't want to call in sick or show up late. I haven't had a big boy job for 7 years, and the only thing I miss is the dental plan.
Dental plan. Dental plan. Dental plan. Dental plan. Dental plan. Dental plan. Dental plan. Dental plan.
on my own cause I'm broke. Wink!
So A, is this identity now? This is like superseded the previous one? Like you're sort of set on being Mr. Loopy Pants at this point?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, for this project, right?
Yeah.
I still think of myself as Jay Williams and his best friend / loop pedal, Peter, are Mr. Loopy Pants,
right,
a two-person
right.
solo act, you know?
Okay, no, fair enough. Yeah. And so people who are listening ahead of the Fringe, how do they find out when these shows are happening? Where are they happening? How do you get tickets?
So they're happening. This is great. I started my Jay Williams career playing weekly shows at Shannon's Irish Pub.
Okay.
I have so many memories and so many nights that I completely forgot, too, because I was drunk. And so it's happening at Shannon's.
Okay, cool.
It's going to be such a crazy trip down memory lane. I'm so excited. And so I think it's going on every day at Fringe. So from the 15th to the 26th, with maybe the Monday is the only day I'm not playing. And so, yeah, it's like on the Fringe website, all the times are there. I've got a Facebook event too. But yeah, it's not difficult to find the information because the name is just me. And so, yeah.
Yeah. What's the capacity for, I mean, that's a pretty big guy. I mean, some of the Fringe venues are so random in sizes, right? That seems like you actually get a decent amount of people out there for.
I mean, I'm not expecting to sell out or anything, but I think you can get 200 people in there.
Yeah, it's
I remember I played a Williams show after an Iron Maiden show across the street at the convention center. I was doing two sets that night. My first set, there were about 30 people, you know, just regulars. It was a Monday. And then my second set, the Iron Maiden show got out. And so there were maybe 200 people, maybe more. They were just packed in there. And some guy was super drunk. And I was playing a song about someone I met in Thunder Bay. And his drunk reptile brain told him that I was making fun of Kenora. And so he grabbed a bottle of hot sauce off the bar and sprayed me right in the face. It was amazing. It hurt so much. I canceled it. I was like, show's over.
Yeah.
And then like 10 people from the bar jumped up. The people who had been there the people who were there to see me jumped up and started beating him up, and I didn't want them to beat him up, but I was mainly concerned about not losing my weekly gig. Was my only source of income, and I didn't want the bar owner to think I'd started this.
Sure.
I'm looking everywhere for the bar owner. I'm like, oh man, like I really need to keep this gig, but I want to go find out. I want to make sure they're not killing this poor guy in the hallway. Like he was drunk and he made a mistake. All I wanted to do was spray him in the face with hot sauce so he could tell what he had done.
Right.
And so I look for the owner everywhere. I couldn't find him. I'm like, well, I'll go check on the guy. And so I open the door to the hallway and there's Gerard, the owner, just wailing on the guy. And I was like, job security. It's amazing.
Yeah. So that's gotta be nice
really
to come back there.
To see
yeah.
Him again.
Yeah, for sure.
I have so many good memories of this place. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, and I guess people who maybe remember you from back then too, like would also,
absolutely.
This is an opportunity for them.
I haven't really done a deep dive to hit up my old regular fans to tell them like, hey, you need to come and see this new iteration.
Yeah.
Cause there are some songs for Mr. Loopy Pants I've written new from scratch, and some I'm using old songs from Williams times, but like retooled in sort of a new format.
Cool.
Like for example, there's a song called Sewing Kit about a time when I found a tampon when I was little. And the way I used to play it was about a 4-minute song, and now it's about 8 minutes because I've added a completely new part in the middle. And even the old parts that are the same, I play on electric bass now. I don't play acoustic guitar anymore. And so they're arranged differently, and they're sort of like new iterations of old things, but then there are other songs that are completely new, and so it's a mix. There's something for everybody, except kids and conservative old people.
Well, I almost feel like conservative old people might find something in there that they didn't know they
wanted. They will. sometimes what they find is amazing, because it's a reason to leave and look back angrily while they do.
Sure.
And Shannon's is perfect for that because they've got the stage faces, the bar, and the stairwell, and so when someone's leaving and they're walking up the stairs and they do this move. They go like this.
Yeah.
I'm always like, bye. Thanks for your money. That's great.
That's awesome.
I like to, I like to sort of employ a technique of being offensive where it's like never punch down and be equal opportunity offensive. You know, like I have this theory about when it's okay to be offensive. And my theory, I don't have the Venn diagram in front of me, but imagine three circles. And one of them is causing harm to yourself or others. One of them is offending only others. And then one of them is like sort of embarrassing yourself.
Okay.
And I don't like to cause harm to anyone. And offending only others without embarrassing myself is sort of iffy. And so I like to, when I offend people, I like to have it sort of like also be embarrassing for me. Because then everybody loses, right?
Time when I was young, around 5 or 6, I think, I was walking home from school and I found something on the ground. It was in a plastic package with cardboard on the back. It was white and it looked like cotton and it had a string attached. Wasn't sure what I had found, but I thought it was a sewing kit. I felt so proud to have found it. I couldn't wait to show my mom. A girl who was 2 years older came up to me and said, "Hey kid, that's a tampon. And girls put that in their dink." She laughed at me. I didn't know what to think when she laughed at me and said, "Girls put that in their dink." I told her I didn't believe her. She dared me to show my mom. Her confidence made me nervous, so I threw it back down on the ground. And it wasn't until much later I found out she'd been right, when I learned about a bunch of lady things like vaginas and menstruation, fallopian tubes, and of course the uterus. Don't forget the uterus. For potential pregnancy.
isn't getting knocked up. Maybe because she hasn't found Mr. Right. Or maybe she's found Ms. Right. Or maybe she's just into bodily autonomy and doesn't want kids. And so she uses contraception. And I don't care what the Pope says, contraception is healthcare. Just like access to legal, safe abortion is healthcare too. And the fascist right can suck a dick. I assure you they do, but I digress. If the woman doesn't get knocked up, none of my business why. Then the aforementioned nutrient-rich blood will leak out of her vagina, causing the need for a sewing kit and all that funky shit. Yeah, she laughed at me. I didn't know what to think when she laughed at me and said,
girls, put that in there, dink. One time when I was young, around 5 or 6, I think, I found something on the ground that girls put in their dink.